Hey, it's Michael. Daily listeners often ask how they can support this show. The answer is through a subscription to The Times. The Times is now offering daily listeners a free trial week of digital access. Visit nytimes.com/dailytrial to sign up. That's nytimes.com/dailytrial. And thank you. From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, James Comey's testimony reveals the source of the leaked James Comey memo was James Comey. Why he says he did it, and the sequence of events he intentionally set in motion by giving that memo to The Times. It's Friday, June 9th.
Director Comey, you are recognized. You have the floor for as long as you might need.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ranking Member Warner, members of the committee, thank you for inviting me here to testify today.
Let's just listen to how Comey opened this hearing in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
I've submitted my statement for the record, and I'm not going to repeat it here this morning. I thought I would just offer some very brief introductory remarks, and then I would welcome your questions.
Matt Apuzzo, what did you make of the first words that Comey said?
The gloves are off.
What do you mean?
If you thought this was going to be the bureaucratically constrained Jim Comey, I'm the FBI director, I got to choose my words and round off some edges, he signaled right off the bat, ain't going to happen.
I understood that I could be fired by a president for any reason or for no reason at all. And on May the 9th, when I learned that I had been fired, for that reason, I immediately came home as a private citizen. But then the explanations, the shifting explanations, confused me and increasingly concerned me.
We're going to do this. That's right. He's coming in and he's saying, I'm going to call the president a liar.
And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. And I am so sorry that the FBI workforce had to hear them, and I'm so sorry that the American people were told them.
To my mind, he seemed genuinely kind of wounded about the fact that he was fired, the way he was fired, and how the White House talked about his firing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you imagine being in that situation, you're leading an agency that you, by all accounts, care deeply about. Mm-hmm. And then you're on a business trip and you find out you're fired from TV. And then your boss comes out and says you're doing a terrible job. So, yeah, of course he was wounded. And you could really see it in his body language. You could hear it in his voice.
I have a message before I close for my former colleagues of the FBI. But at first, I want the American people to know this truth. The FBI is honest. The FBI is strong. And the FBI is and always will be independent. And now to my former colleagues, if I may. I am so sorry that I didn't get the chance to say goodbye to you properly.
So then the actual questioning begins from the senators. How exactly does that work?
So the Democratic line of questioning is pretty clear.
The president seems, from my reading of your memo, to be holding your job or your possibility of continuing in your job over your head in a fairly direct way.
Everybody understands what's happening when your boss starts suggesting that you do things and making phone calls saying, why haven't you done this?
Mm-hmm. Talk for a moment about his request that you pledge loyalty and your response to that and what impact you believe that had.
You are being influenced. You are being pressured. That is the Democratic line. Mm-hmm. The Republican line is, well, he never actually told you explicitly, I'm giving you an order to shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Did the president at any time ask you to stop the FBI investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 U.S. elections?
Not to my understanding, no.
So it wasn't outright obstruction.
Did any individual working for this administration, including the Justice Department, ask you to stop the Russian investigation?
No.
Now, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I can see Donald Trump I can see anybody mm-hmm. being really frustrated. I'm the president of the United States. I've just been told repeatedly by the FBI director, I'm not under investigation, but I can't get out from under the Russia controversy. I can't get away from that story. How can I get away from this story? I'm not under investigation here. How do I get this to go away? Call my FBI director. Hey, man, how do I get out from under this? I see that frustration. You can see that frustration the president has when you read Comey's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there's a wall. There's always been a wall between the White House and the FBI when it comes to criminal investigations.
You see it in my testimony. I also tried to explain to him why it's in his interest and every president's interest for the FBI to be a part in a way, because its credibility is important to a president and to the country.
I mean, with that in mind, I noticed that Comey kept finding ways of saying, sometimes subtly, sometimes not subtly at all, that he didn't trust this president and that he started to develop tactics and ways of kind of working every time he interacted with the president that reflected that.
Yeah, he clearly did not trust Donald Trump. I mean, he says right off the bat, first meeting at Trump Tower, he sits down and begins typing up a memo about that very meeting. And when they say, why did you feel like you needed to do that? He says,
first, I was alone with the president of the United States, or the president-elect, soon to be president. The subject matter, I was talking about matters that touch on the FBI's core responsibility and that relate to the president, president-elect personally, and then the nature of the person. I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document.
I thought the president might someday lie about that conversation.
Matt, I was really struck by James Comey's description of his meeting with the president in the Oval Office on February 14th.
And your direct superior, the Attorney General, was in that meeting as well, yet the president asked everyone to leave, including the Attorney General to leave, before he brought up the matter of General Flynn. What was your impression of that type of action? And have you ever seen anything like that before?
No. My impression was something big is about to happen. I need to remember every single word that is spoken. And again, I could be wrong. I'm 56 years old. I've been seen a few things. My sense was the Attorney General knew he shouldn't be leaving, which is why he was lingering. And I don't know Mr. Kushner well, but I think he picked up on the same thing. And so I knew something was about to happen that I needed to pay very close attention to.
Because it's really the Attorney General who traditionally is that buffer between the FBI and the White House. So Comey's uncomfortable with that right off the bat.
A really significant fact to me is, so why did he kick everybody out of the Oval Office? Why would you kick the Attorney General, the President, the Chief of Staff out to talk to me if it was about something else?
And Comey says, this is the president asking me to shelve an investigation, an ongoing criminal investigation. By rule, the president doesn't ask the FBI to drop criminal cases, doesn't suggest it, doesn't hint at it. That doesn't normally happen in the real world.
And so that to me, as an investigator, is a very significant fact. And
so then we get to this big revelation. Senator Collins is the one who triggers it. Walk us through that interaction.
Well, the theme of this interaction is why it's dangerous to fire the FBI director. So Susan Collins gently lobs
finally,
this idea.
Did you show copies of your memos?
Hey, you've been keeping memos. Does anybody have copies of the memos? Because you haven't given us copies of the memos. Are there any copies of the memos out there?
To anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a copy of one memo out there.
And to whom did you show copies?
I asked, President tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night.
Comey sits up in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and realizes that if there are tapes, then maybe all of this can be corroborated.
Because it didn't dawn on me originally that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape.
Because his view was one of the reasons he didn't come forward was because it was going to ultimately be a he said, she said between him and the president. Only after Trump tweets, you better hope they're not tapes, does he realize this could be corroborated, and so people need to know about this.
I needed to get that out into the public square, and so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
And was that Mr. Wittes?
No. No.
Who was that?
A good friend of mine who's a professor at Columbia Law School.
Thank you.
It was this incredible matter-of-fact kind of bombshell revelation.
Well, it wasn't a bombshell revelation to us. But, I mean, but yeah. To me, what was the bombshell was he said, well, I did it because I wanted to get a special counsel. I thought it might get a special counsel to investigate. And it worked because Mike Schmidt wrote a story.
Our colleague, yep.
Yep. Wrote a story. And like almost immediately, the Justice Department names Robert Mueller the special counsel. And it just shows Comey playing chess here against the president in a way that you just don't get to see very often in Washington.
But why would Comey do it this way? Why through a leak that is a little convoluted and involves a third party and anonymity? Why not just come forward as James Comey with the memos himself?
Yeah, I don't actually know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. The point is a good one. I don't know why Jim Comey didn't open a Medium account and write an open letter to the United States of America or mm-hmm. send a package of these memos to the Senate or sit down with us or the Post or 60 Minutes or something. I don't know why he didn't do that.
It's odd, Matt, because in the testimony, Comey says that he shares the president's distaste for leaks and his belief that this should be cracked down on.
I passed along the president's message about the importance of aggressively pursuing leaks of classified information, which is a goal I share.
And yet, in the testimony, he acknowledges that he has leaked this incredibly volatile memo to the news media deliberately.
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
Yeah, that is absolutely one of the paradoxes in this, right? Is we heard immediately after the hearing, we heard from Trump's lawyer who said,
it is overwhelmingly clear that there have been and continue to be those in government who are actively attempting to undermine this administration with selective and illegal leaks of classified information and privileged communications. Mr. Comey has now admitted that he is one of these leakers.
It's really not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So when the FBI and Jim Comey talk about leaks, they're not really all that worked up about leaks about conversations or leaks about what's happening at the White House. They were talking about classified information. That is what Trump says he's worked up about. And this isn't that. This was Comey pushing back on a storyline about his own firing. If you are Comey, that's not a leak of classified information.
Okay, here's another paradoxical, complicated wrinkle in all of this.
Now, here's the question. You're big, you're strong. I know the Oval Office, and I know what happens to people when they walk in. There is a certain amount of intimidation. But why didn't you stop and say, Mr. President, this is wrong. I cannot discuss this with you.
Why didn't he stand up to the president or report it at the time?
It's a great question. Maybe if I were stronger, I would have. I was so stunned by the conversation that I just took it in.
You can hear that second guessing in Comey's voice.
Hmm.
Maybe other people would be stronger in that circumstance, but that's how I conducted myself. I hope I'll never have another opportunity. Maybe if I did it again, I would do it better.
To me, it was a rare moment in Washington where you got to see people acting like human beings, imperfect human beings, and not kind of the caricatures that they often sort of put forth in their public selves.
Why does Comey ultimately think that he was fired? What did he say about that on Thursday?
Well, I think it's clear at this point.
I believe I take the president at his word that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. Something about the way I was conducting it, the president felt created pressure on him that he wanted to relieve. Again, I didn't know that at the time, but I've watched his interview. I've read the press accounts of his conversations. So I take him at his word there. Now, look,
I take the president at his word. In the end, the president tells Lester Holt and NBC, hey, I was thinking about Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells the Russian diplomats in the Oval Office, I was under great pressure because of Russia, and that firing Comey took that pressure off. We now know that that is just not true, that whatever pressure he thought he was relieving by getting rid of Comey, he is only amplified. Things are not better for Donald Trump. Firing Jim Comey set in motion a number of things that the president can no longer even attempt to control. A special counsel investigation, an emboldened congressional investigation, the possibility of an obstruction investigation, and the swirling questions of whether, even if no crimes were committed, whether the president tried to manipulate the director of the FBI.
Matt, thank you very much.
Great to be here.
In the hours following Comey's testimony, President Trump did not personally respond, but in his statement, the president's lawyer, Mark Cassowitz, said Trump never demanded Comey's loyalty, never asked him to stop investigating anyone, and that, quote, Mr. Comey has now finally confirmed publicly what he repeatedly told the president privately. The president was not under investigation as part of any probe into Russian interference. We'll be right back.
I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter.
Michael Schmidt, I assume that you were watching this testimony in the Washington Bureau of the Times, just the way all of us were watching it in the New York office. What was your reaction when you realized that James Comey was talking about you?
So I was actually in the room. I was sitting about three, four rows back from him.
Jeez.
Over his right shoulder. And I had some suspicion that the issue would come up. And I was obviously listening intently to all of it. And I could see the questioning sort of head in that direction. And, you know, you sort of as a journalist cringe a bit because besides, you know, who, when, what, why, where, and how, the number one rule of journalism is not to become part of the story. And here's a national story playing out, and my sources and methods and reporting is a bit of the story, or, you know, a significant part of the story. So it's not the type of attention you want, but if you're going to get involved and play around in these types of high-profile stories and stuff and go after information, things like this could happen. And I realize that's part of the job.
So the revelation, for us at least, I don't know about for you, is that James Comey chose you to share this memo with. Can you tell us the story from your side from the start?
One of the shortcomings of having the story come out like this is that things become very simple. Comey called friend, said friend, leak memo to Schmidt. There it goes. So when you hear it in that sense, it seems kind of simple, like bang, bang, there's the story. There's Bob Mueller the next day.
Appointed as special counsel, right?
Correct.
What actually happened?
So I'm going to be a little guarded here.
I understand.
Because I got to protect my sources and methods, but I also feel like I have a duty or a need to address it because it is a public issue, and we ask people to speak publicly all the time, so we shouldn't run from that. So I will say that coming into the Tuesday, the day that I broke that story, I knew that there were memos that he had written, and I was moving towards that day writing a story that said that there were Comey memos. That is all that I knew. I thought that was a pretty good story, just the idea that Comey had created these contemporaneous memos.
Right, it was.
And in the process of moving in that direction, that morning, Tuesday morning, I found out the stuff about Flynn and Comey and what Trump asked Comey to do about it. I did not know at the time that it was Comey's intention to get a special prosecutor appointed. I did not know that until I was sitting in the hall there today.
So our colleague Matt Apuzzo described this testimony and its origins with the decision by James Comey to start keeping these memos and documenting all his interactions with President Trump as a bit of a chess game that played out quite publicly today. And I know this is a tricky question, so I warn you in advance. Do you feel like you and even the Times become part of that chess game in this case?
I think that part of working here is that people want to use the voice of the Times to further their aims. Mm-hmm. And that is an incredibly powerful tool. And to use that tool, we need to be incredibly skeptical of the information that we have. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that if we're being provided things, that they're factually accurate. It's part of the decisions to use anonymous sources, to publish information, the bars that it has to clear. We have to be incredibly thoughtful about that because of the power of a New York Times story.
Michael, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Here's what else you need to know today. During Comey's testimony on Thursday, he disputed an article published in the Times in February that described repeated contacts between President Trump's advisors and Russian intelligence officials.
So again, so the American people can understand this, that report by the New York Times was not true. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, in the main, it was not true. And again, all of you know this, maybe the American people don't. The challenge, and I'm not picking on reporters, about writing stories about classified information is the people talking about it often don't really know what's going on.
The Times is standing by the story. And since its publication, the Times and other news organizations have documented contacts between Trump advisors and Russian intelligence officials, which are now the focus of federal investigations. And Prime Minister Theresa May has lost her party's majority in Parliament after an election in Britain on Thursday. May had taken a bet in calling the election 3 years early, hoping to win a mandate to see her through difficult negotiations with the European Union as Britain withdraws. The Daily is produced by Theo Balcom, Lindsay Garrison, Rachel Quester, and Andy Mills. Lisa Tobin is our executive producer. Samantha Hennig is our editorial director. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsverk of Wonderly. Special thanks to Sam Dolnick, Peter Sale, Pedro Rosado, and Michaela Bouchard. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you Monday.